supposed to live like this, live like this, behave like this.
Everyone has to get the guidance from inside you, from your heart, and to be more accurate, from the fourth dimension of the heart, the psychic heart, the psychic being. So there will be no more religions in the world. Each man has got his own guidance from inside. What exactly till today is we are getting guidance from outside, our education, our science, though the real scientists are guided from inside. But what we are reading as a science is the guidance given by outside. You try to understand the difference. That is why many spiritualists call this as a scientific religion. Because the science, the laws of science, the laws of the universe are always motivated from inside. A simple incident guides them. Because they deal with them. That is where you always remember, whatever you are doing, everything you are doing, even if you are just going through the pages, the movement of the hand and the pages, it tells you something to deal with. If you deal with it, it becomes your idea. So that divine and nobler life, a fairer, brighter and nobler life for all mankind. And no more spiritual organizations. If you remember that Veerabhoga Vasantarayudu, whom we are expecting to come, is already inside you. Veerabrahmangaru in his prediction says that all these religions will become music religions, museum religions. Then the children at that time will come and say, how can they believe that this will be a religion? All the religions will become like that. But your life divine, the name itself gives you a direction. That is what we have to spread. Not by telling others, but ourselves become divine. You become the goal. How others also want to become like that in themselves. They should not become your followers. You always remember it. That is the error always happens in all religions and in all cults. We are not going to follow anybody. We are going to follow the inner motivations. And then the spiritual gift. There are many, many gifts. But everything has been synthesized as the synthesis of yoga. And how the yoga becomes all your life is the life divine. So these two books we have to understand and give it to the world. And the final dream is of course an evolution which happens by itself because of how we change. So these are the five dreams. Always when we start a class, let us think about them. Whatever we are doing is a part of any one of these five dreams. You are seeing the time? The time is up. With this mood, the prayer.
Bye.
Yes, yes. Life divine. How do this have this? I don't know which pages are there. There I have underlined the pages, it doesn't matter. Because it is there. But before going into actually the life divine, actually how the life divine evolves in us, you have to identify the levels where you are. The same manifestation. All of which means that on this earth we may expect the presence of the following species contemporary. Contemporary means they are with us, all these four beings. The first is the animal human, which will prolong the species we all belong to. So our human evolution is completed. So now what happens? The same type of human species will continue. To the half rational mental being, possessing an individualized soul, although the term may sound pejorative, means contradictory. On one side you say an individual soul, and on the other point you say a half rational mental being. That is the breakthrough what Sri Aurobindo and Mother has done. It is a real scientific breakthrough as great as the Einsteinian's formula. Because till Einstein's advent into the physics, matter is matter. Everything is material. Whatever you can feel it, what your five senses can observe it, only science will follow it. But once he said that E is equal to mc squared, the mass can be converted into energy, and energy can be converted into mass. The breakthrough came. And now, every particle we see, the smallest atom, the hydrogen atom to your body, the bigger atom, the atom of the Vishwamanava. You see the correlations, because it is very, very important for our practice of integral yoga. You are also an atom, just like the hydrogen atom is the base for all the 92 elements. Just a multiplication of hydrogen atom. Similarly, in our human being also, we have finished whatever that is possible for the physical matter to know and understand. And once you go to the uranium atom, and the symbol for uranium is the capital U, means you. You, why were you you? And now when you become the uranium atom of the series of elements, the 92nd element, you need not worry about the scientific numbers and nomenclature. The basic hydrogen atom and the last uranium atom. You. Then suddenly what happens? From the heart of the nucleus of the atom, the nuclear energy sprouts. Instantaneous, continuous and spontaneous, the nuclear energy. Similarly, in us also is the supramental power to flow spontaneously, continuously, and nothing can stop it. Only obstructions can be there. Even from nuclear energy you cannot stop it. The flow of nuclear energy is obstructed because of some other particles, lead and heavy water, whatever they call it. You just can't control nuclear energy, you can make an obstruction for it. And we have two obstructions mainly in our bodies. One is what is known as the vital body, what we may call as the desire body. And if you are more conversant with the Vedantic terminology, the pranamaya kosha, that is the main obstruction. It cannot stop it, it obstructs it. You understand the difference between these two words? when this type of inner energy is coming out, what we call the supramental assembly, the true consciousness, our pranamaya kosha has a nucleus in our body. What exactly we may call it? The heart. Our entire prana, our life depends on heart. If the heart is not beating, we are gone. The psychic heart provides the continuous source of energy since the beginning. Since the beginning, when the human body was also not formed, the human being was not there. But then the human atom, the human heart was there. Slowly, slowly, the evolution continued. Till this state is what is called the animal human. So almost you can be very sure that every human being is an animal human being. And we also call it Jantunam Narajanna Durdaham. Man is a social animal, and in so many names we say. But when we call it animal, you know, and we should be very clear in our day-to-day life, what are the animal instincts which motivate us. Ahara, Nidra, Bhaya, Maidhina. They are similar to the human beings as well as to the animals. Ahara, we need food. But it is an animal instinct. Bhaya, fear. An animal instinct. That is why in Daivi Sampad, the 16th chapter, Abhayam Sattva Samshiddhi, the first character is Abhaya. He becomes fearless. The first is food. You can't avoid food there. Don't think that by eating food we become animals. It is a human animal instinct which helps us to grow. The fear, the bhaya, has to be converted into abhaya. And then nidra. Nidra, what we mean is ignorance. Sleep is a process, no doubt about it. But when we are talking about the human shift to divine consciousness, nidra means ignorance. We don't know. And then maithana is a procreation process, a very scientific. And the basic process of nature, the scientists have done a lot of research, and all the plants and flowers and even metals have their own procreation processes. We have our own procreation process. But now we have completely forgotten that it is a creative process. We have forgotten about the creative aspect of it. That is again the animal instinct. So animal human, and here a very important indication has been given by the word the naked ape. The animal human is not the naked ape of the scientific positivists. Generally we say we have come from monkeys, and they show that gorilla walking on the 4 feet and slowly it is standing up. That is not correct. We have missed the real transition grades in nature where the animal has developed into a human being. He is a forward, inward and upward looking transitory being. So we the human beings, we have three characteristics. He is a forward, inward and upward. These three, if we practice, then what happens? The transitory being jumps into the human being. Who will embody one or more spiritual relations between the mental and supramental consciousness? This is the grades which the Vedas has given in 5 very clear steps. We have now completely forgotten about those steps. That is why Sri Aurobindo always tells that this is only a downfall. The human beings now once reaches that rishi state and the other five levels. And instead of going into the integral yoga, into the truth, consciousness, being, coming out of us, we have fallen. The reason is for that. And a very scientific reason and a very spiritual reason, but we will not, let us not discuss about it, because the fact is a fact that we are falling. Because once Vivekananda was asked by some, what we call the one, newspaper man. What are the new names? Fourth, huh? Journalist. I am not able to recollect it. So in London, when he was giving speeches on this, they wanted to corner him. He said, okay, what you are saying is right, that you are divine and we have fallen. Then Vivekananda said, our rishis are very heroic in nature. They replied, we don't know how he has fallen. And we need not know how you are fallen. You have to know the path how to grow. That is the answer he gave. The same answer. We need not worry how we have fallen from such a high, great level, what we technically call it is the Atlantic period, the Atlantic civilization. But we have fallen. And before we were fallen, the link between this man and the supramental descent was given by five clear-cut levels of consciousness. The Rishi consciousness, the Maharshi consciousness, the Rajarshi consciousness, the Brahmarshi consciousness, and of course the Devarshi consciousness, in the descent of the integral consciousness. That is what the Life Divine wants to understand, these five levels of in-between consciousness developments. That is what he is telling. Who will embody one or more spiritual gradations? The Rishi gradation, the Maharshi gradation, the Rajarshi gradation, the Brahmarshi gradation, and of course the Devarshi gradation. And naturally, at those times, there was only one consciousness who could reach that state. When you read the Puranas and the Ramayana and Mahabharata, the epics, we come only across one who is called Devarshi. Do you know who he is? Narada. Did you ever get any name about the other Devarshi? But we have a lot of Brahmarshis. And we know Vishwamitra was converted into a Rajarshi to Brahmarshi. So these are one or more spiritual gradations. That is where we have to analyze ourselves. Our goal is to become Devarshi in the traditional nomenclature. But what Sri Aurobindo and Mother says that you have been given an opportunity that every human being will become a Devarshi. And when divinity descends on planet Earth, that is the goal. All will become Devarshis. So, in between, because there are four grades, you have a large number of organizations and yogic sadhakas in all religions since these for last 5,000 years. The Sufi cult is very close to the Vedantic cult in Muslim religions. And then we have the Bauddhas, the Mahaviras. All these are human beings. Animal human being, we understand a normal life, leading a normal life with all the four instincts, worried about his own thing. Majority are also like that. And majority of us also in this stage, human stage. Either you are a Rishi, or a Maharshi, or a Rajarshi, or maybe a Brahmarshi. But you are ready to jump into the Devarshi state or the supramental consciousness state. The human is a future being that will originate from the animal human through the influence of the presence of the supermind on earth. Now that is the guarantee since 5th December 1950, and with more power, 29th February 1906. That is the guarantee that all animal human beings will become human beings. That is guarantee. That is a certainty. You will forget about that. So we will not anymore say that jantu naam narajanma durlabha. We will say in manushyana suradeva janma durlabha. And that divinity is difficult in human beings. That will originate from the animal human through the influence of the presence of the supermind on it, and that will be fully satisfied with its higher, complete humanness. And now the superhuman, who will still be born from the sexual union of his progenitors, but in possession of the mind of light, which is a supramental consciousness, be very clear about this mind of light. The word mind of light has a very specific meaning in integral yoga. That is what was transferred to mother on 5th December 1950, the light of mind. We will read it. But you remember, this is the mind of light, which will be the cause of further evolution of the divine species. And that may not be the method of procreation which the humans are now using, but it will be something occult and something which we can't imagine. The superman is an intermediary being and will probably appear in many ways. He is appearing now in so many ways. Even in India, we find a large and lot of divine human beings who are the grades between the supramental and human. And of course, the final, the supramental being who will embody in a refined form of matter. The matter will be there, but it will be a refined form of matter based on the mind of light. From the supramental type of worlds materialized in a hitherto unknown way according to an occult procedure, that we don't know how it will happen. On the one hand, the supramental force realized in the physical by Sri Aurobindo, the mind of light, had during his confrontation with his death been transmitted to the mother. And this mind of light is exactly what makes you sleep. That is why repeatedly you are asked to concentrate on how you sleep. And if you know how to sleep, and if you have understood the mind of light, the man who sleeps will not again become conscious. Something new will be born. That is what I am asking you to practice. How? First, obstructions have to be removed. The illnesses have to be removed. The best way to remove the illnesses is to help others to get their illnesses free from the illnesses. So that is at the nights. Anyone started doing that type of sleep? Do it. And be very sincere about it. It is a real integral yoga. That is how Mother met Sri Aurobindo. By its practice. So, one is the Akhanda Bharat, the other is the way you are sleeping. And how do you know that you have learned the correct way of sleep where the mind of light is working? In sleep, you get answers, solutions for your problems. All scientists, if you read their biographies or autobiographies, you will learn that their real research guidance have come in their sleep. I have not yet seen a scientist who said that he has discovered the formula in his wakeful consciousness. No scientist has done. He experiments. But all these experiments are a failure in the laboratory. He goes on experimenting. And once some night he dreams the solution, again he does the experiment based on that solution and he gets the result. So I want our daily life to be a laboratory. Daily night to be a laboratory where the mind of light which was transmitted by Sri Aurobindo, the mind of light is that which removes the obstacles in pranamaya kosha and the sthola sharira. It comes only in sleep. Be careful of that. Practice it. And that is why I ask all of you to form a group where your experience of your dreams, how you have done your night sojourns in helping people. Make it a diary, because it is very easy to tell how to become a doctor. A simple line, you know about diseases, cure it on people. Single line. But how to become that? You have to read, practice, experience. So, on the one hand, the supramental force realized in the physical by Sri Aurobindo, the mind of light had, during his confrontation with death. Of course, he has the ability to confront the death which changes bodies. But every day, a partial type of death. We are practicing in the night. Repeatedly I am telling it, though I am knowing that I am repeating it. If you understand it, your daily sleep becomes a source of mind of light, because it is installed on the physical planet. Before it was not there, but now it is there. During his confrontation with death has transmitted to the mother so concretely. Remember always that all your planes of consciousness, you have to make it concrete. The concrete means concrete. How do you know it is concrete? In that plane, what you have thought it is concrete must materialize instantaneously in the physical plane. Then your thoughts are concrete. And many times I have found in my friend's life, in my life, whatever we think, it gets concretized. Concretizing means what you have thought comes to you. So that is the importance. Your pranamaya kosha must become concrete. Your manomaya kosha must become concrete. And I hope today, in Life Divine, we come to that point of how to concretize these things. Today itself. That she had felt it as a friction every time that force had entered her body through the pores of the skin. It is the mind of light that Sri Aurobindo has transmitted, but she felt it in the pores of the body. The friction. So when you sleep, you will feel that friction. That friction of the mind of light pulling it towards itself. And that is exactly what sleep is. And now many people find it very difficult to sleep because our ideas have not become concrete. Many of our ideas are very, very hazy. And that is why when I pray, I ask people to be very concrete. Don't say, make me sukhi. Even when you eat, we don't know what makes you sukhi. One likes very pungent food and one likes a sweet food. No, he says, give me food. What type of food? Concretize. Now you understand concretization, what I mean? Concretization means be very specific in what you want. In all details, in all details. Don't think that you are being selfish. That is what she felt, it as a friction every time that force has entered her body through the pores of its skin. And that was in 1950. And to concretize it for the entire humanity, she took 6 years. And you remember the speed of work with which they do. Nirodh Varun said that you are a bit slow. You have spent 30 years in your sadhana. Then he said, do you know what I have done? What a natural slow evolution in nature takes 3 lakhs of years. I have done it in 30 years. And you say it is slow? Then what do you want? If it should be in 3 weeks or 3 hours? So, the light of mind, what Sri Aurobindo has brought it down into his physical body. To convert it into the earth plane for all human beings, mother takes 6 years. So you can understand how much years of evolution she has replaced. Sri Aurobindo, after his great realizations, which had led him to the inner discovery of the supermind, had brought it down gradually in the mental, the vital, and finally as the mind of life in the matter of his body. Now you understand what is mind of light? It has nothing to do with mind. It is the matter of his body. So when you talk about mind of light and bringing it down, you don't think you are doing something in the mind. It has to be done in your physical body. That is why this mind of light and how to bring it down is the process which nature is doing in its own way, that is the life divide. And the integral yoga does it in a very fast way, and very fast way means in one single lifetime. This lifetime you have to finish it, your supramental descent, because you have a right for it. Sri Aurobindo and mother, whom they have called, they mean that, that in this lifetime, whatever may be your age, in this lifetime you will get it. But the only thing is, you should be aware of the mind of light coming down into you. And what does it stop? The obstructions. That is why yesterday I have shown you the Savitri lines about how he travelled into the subconscient and inconscient. And if being Indians, we like more a Sanskrit hand, the same thing is repeated in Shiva Tandava Stotra. Same thing, and it is your burden which I am leaving to compare it. Radha Gajendra Turaga, that is what he said yesterday, I have shown you. Radha is the chariot. Gajendra is the vital body, you know, the problem with all the what the Shastras say, the weakness in the elephant, that is Pranamikusha. And then Turaga, the mind. All these three, and in the Vedantic yogic language we call it as the Karma Yoga for the chariot, the Bhakti Yoga for the vital body, and the Jnana Yoga for the mind. So these three, the Shiva Tandava Stotra talks about the divine downfall of Ganga into the Shiva. It is the supramental descent. So with that you can correlate. Every particle of what we call matter contains all the other principles implicit in itself. Where one principle is present in the cosmos, there all the rest must not merely present in and passively latent, but secretly at work. This is the formula, the theory, the practical approach we should remember. If there is something in the universe, it is in you also. And when what we call the principle, there are 5 principles we talk about, what in our normal Sanskrit language we call tattvas, the prithvi tattva, the jala tattva, the agni tattva, the vayu tattva, and the akasha tattva. These 5 tattvas, that is why the whole universe is known as pra pancha. Pra is an adjective which makes it famous. Siddhi, prasiddhi. Siddhi is what you have. Prasiddhi, you are famous. You know, prasiddhi means famous. So prapancha, it is famous of all these 5 bhutas. So that is the name which we don't understand. Prapancha, all the 5 panchas we have. Pancha is the 5 elements. But because it has become famous throughout the cosmos, it becomes prapancha. That is why we call it as prapancha. Matter is equal to energy is equal to consciousness. This is where Einstein was helped by Sri Aurobindo. Matter and energy equivalence is what we call in the scientific nomenclature, E is equal to mc squared. We teach it to the children as mass energy equivalence. And what does Sri Aurobindo add? Energy consciousness equivalence. And now, if matter is equal to energy according to the Einstein's theory, and our Einstein in spiritual culture, he says energy and mass are equal. The simple logic, matter is equal to consciousness. Simple. So this consciousness gradations, if you can change it, and you can change it instantaneously, always remember consciousness, you can change it instantaneously, 1,000 times instantaneously. So someone was telling me, you just use words. How can you change my consciousness instantaneously? I said, suppose you are going to the marriage, you are meeting a number of relatives and all are talking together. You are sitting here and all your relatives are there sitting talking with you. When you are talking with father, how do you talk? How does your consciousness work? As a son, with a sister. At the same time he is talking. When you are talking with the father, you are talking like a son. With a sister, like a brother. With a friend, instantaneously, and you take some time to change your consciousness. And how many friends are there in the marriage? And do you feel that you have the same friendship with all or different conscious friendships? Now you understand, change of consciousness is so easy. That is why Sri Aurobindo always said that the integral realization is very easy, only the obstructions have to be removed. And we want to do sadhana. To remove an obstruction, what sadhana we require? And especially you can't remove it. The power has to remove it. So what you can do? The only thing is you can surrender. Your surrender does everything. But it is a dynamic surrender, that is where we are going wrong. You surrender and you sleep. That's the main problem. Because I can understand it so clearly, even now I am sleeping. I am talking to you so much to be an active surrender, and sometimes I find, whenever I feel sick or when I feel something bad, physically, I always laugh at myself. I teach people, I tell them to surrender, and I am not able to surrender my diseases to you. If you really surrender, instantaneously you are cured. That is a fact. So if you are not cured, the only thing means is you have surrender is not complete. That heroism we need. That is the heroic aspect. Don't blame the consciousness. Don't blame the guru or someone that you have not helping me. He is helping you continuously through all these lives. But what we are not doing is we are not surrendering. What is obstructing? Your body consciousness. Whatever we may say that we are the psychic soul, you are the mental body, you are the vital body and this body. But always, and the physical body. That is the real obstruction. That is why I always say the doubt, sandeha. I always tell people, sandeha is not a doubt, it is with deha, sadeha. So if you remove the sandeha, the deha consciousness, all doubts are removed. That is why in Gita we are told nasto moha smriti labdhva tatprasadat mayachita sthitosmi gata sandeha. I have understood and I am now staying at a level where I am not sadeha. I am not with the body. No sandehas, no sadehas. And then how this body should work? It motivates. If you allow the body to be motivated, but we stop it. That is the real purpose, how it is to be done. So the matter is equal to energy, the Einstein's equation. And the integral yoga equation is, matter is equal to consciousness. You remove the energy. Because energy is pranamaya kosha. Energy is prana. The prana is not so important. The mind, the consciousness is important. That is where matter is. The light of the mind light. That is what mind light you have to remember. Every time when you are sitting for meditation, let the mind light descend. And feel the friction in our pores, just as mother could feel it when Sri Aurobindo was transcended. And don't say that because she is mother, she could feel it. Because she is the mother, we are going to feel it. Because of her, we don't know how much time and energy was wasted to create an atom bomb. For Einstein also. But once you know how to make an atom bomb, anyone can make it. You just go to the websites. Many people, they want to remove that page where how to make an atom bomb and all these. But it is still there. Because it will be there whether you remove it from the website or not. And because mother is there, the descent of the light, mind light, is very easy for you. So that consciousness, when you make it, be aware of it, and you feel the friction of how the mind light is removing the obstructions. So, this mind light is on three levels. These three combined becomes mind light. First is the mind of the body. This body is controlled by one will, one mind, our mind. If you want to move the hands, the legs, or anything, it is our consciousness as a human being, as I am that I am. That is the mind of the body. Next is the mind of the cells. Every cell has its own mind. If its mind is properly working, the body is working. Once the mind of the cell gets confused, you get cancer. That is the definition of cancer. How cancer develops is, somehow the multiplication and aggregation of the cells forget its correct process of manipulation. So, just as the entire body has a mind, each cell has a mind. And the mind of matter. The consciousness in the atoms, just cell of course, you know that it is our basic life principle, the cell. The atom is the basic matter principle. Even the atom has got its own mind. The chemical equations prove it, that hydrogen atom always behaves like hydrogen atom, always, wherever it is. Even in your new organic compounds, which are not there present, still the hydrogen atom behaves like a hydrogen. A calcium atom behaves like a calcium atom. An iron atom behaves like an iron atom. That is the atom consciousness, what we call it, the mind of matter. And very interesting thing, the indestructibility of mass, there is a law where you say the number of atoms of a particular matter is constant. You can't change them. The number of atoms of that particular matter, the number of atoms of it are constant. You can't change it. But what you can do is, you can interchange the combinations, getting something new. So these three, the mind of the human body, the mind of the cells, the mind of the matter, when together they are fused together, the integral yoga of the mind is the mind life. Mind of matter, mind of cells and mind of body come together is the mind life, which was chiseled, developed and formulated as the supramental descent by Sri Aurobindo. It was never before done that. First time in the world, in the history of human nature, it has been done. So our goal, when you are meditating, the descent of the mind light, then what happens? Your mind and the mind of the cells and the atom of the body work in unison. They are integrated. That is the supramental descent in the human body. The mind of matter, the consciousness in atoms and elementary particles of the so-called gross matter, as experienced by our senses, but which seems already to escape the grip of the physicist, matter itself is found to be the result of something that is not matter. One thing the scientists, the physicists have accepted, energy has been converted into matter. And what does our integral yoga say is the consciousness can be converted into energy which can be converted into matter. So that is what we have to remember. Then came the announcement of December 34 and etc. They come to the last slide. And on 29th February 1956, the supramental manifestation has become a fact on planet Earth. And whatever happens on planet Earth, it happens throughout the cosmos. You remember that. So, this life divine, we don't know from since how many millions and millions of years it has tried for this to happen. For this supramental descent was the main goal of the evolution of life. That divine life is how we are going to read the first chapter, the human aspiration. The entire process of evolution is based on aspiration, which only human beings have. No others aspire, they live. Is it not? An atom lives like an atom, a plant lives like a plant. An animal is like an animal. But in the evolution to stay, when he becomes the intermediate between the animal and the divine, the aspiration comes. And the earliest formula of wisdom promises to be the last, God, light, freedom, immortality. The first chapter is a very beautifully expressive chapter where many a times human beings sought for God and then they said there is no God. And if I remember right, there is one philosopher called Nietzsche who said God is dead. You don't worry about it. But still, he exists. So this is the first aspiration towards God. And that aspiration towards God leads you to light. And when you get that light, you get freedom. And when you get that freedom, you become immortal. Literally, physically immortal. So when you go through this chapter, you remember this. And then, in the same chapter, Sri Aurobindo gives us our way of approach, where our aspirations must be molded. For it is likely that such is the next higher state of consciousness of which mind is only a form and being, the new world. When you understood that evolution is happening, then why do you think that man is the ultimate goal? He is an intermediate for something divine. But entire humanity has two problems, two negations which it has to face. And these are the two obstructions, especially in our physical mind level. You understand the word I have used? Physical mind level. You understood these five tattvas, prithvi, water, jala, agni, vayu and akasha. And all these can be further subdivided into each five sublevels. Akasha having these five sublevels. So the lowest of akasha is akasha prithvi. Got the point? You have five levels. Akasha, then vayu, then agni, then jala, then prithvi. These are the five principles. Each five principles are subdivided into five each. So what happens? The akasha becomes five levels in it. Akasha, akasha principle, akasha vayu principle, akasha agni principle, akasha jala principle, akasha prithvi principle. And similarly you have five in vayu. The vayu akasha principle, vayu agni principle, vayu Jala principle, volume, Prithvi principle. He's right. Agni is nothing but mind. You remember that. Mind level. So Agni, volume, Akasha principle. Agni, volume principle. Agni, Agni principle. Agni, Jala principle. And Agni, physical. That is what I am telling. The negations are in the Agni, mind, physical. Got the point? In that level. It is not the pranamaya level, the jala level, but is in the mind level, these negations come. Either you say the materialistic denial or the refusal of the ascetic. The materialist denies other than what you can feel with the five senses. And the ascetic says, I don't care about this world, I refuse it. These are the two blocks in thinking. That is where you can understand the block. When a scientist talks about spiritualism, he says, humbug. And when you talk with his yogi, he says, science is a humbug. You have to go over it. You have to mix them both. Each is right in its own way. That is exactly what Einstein's principle says. Mass, energy, equivalence. There is a gradation. Slowly the matter goes into energy. And slowly the energy comes down into matter. This much the scientists are accepting. What we have to extend this thought is consciousness slowly coming into the energy and energy comes into the matter. Our matter slowly goes into energy and slowly it goes into consciousness. This is the difference. One more step we have to take. And for that, these two denials have to be denied. Two negatives make positive is very correct in this. These two denials have to be denied. Next. True reconciliation of matter and energy, the science has done. We have to reconcile what? Matter and consciousness. Of course, energy is in between. The true reconciliation proceeds always by a mutual comprehension leading to some sort of intimate oneness. It is therefore through the utmost possible unification of spirit and matter. Consciousness, generally in our yoga books it is known as spirit. Wherever you read spirit, you can indirectly translate it, you can use it as consciousness. It is therefore through the utmost possible unification of spirit and matter that we shall best arrive at the reconciling truth. And so at some strongest foundation for a reconciling practice of the inner life of the individual and his outer existence. That is what we have to do. You have inner life and you have an outer existence. About the outer existence, we are very sure. We know what America is, where Russia is, whether you are a scientist and what are your relations, whether you like this or not. And when tomorrow morning you get up, you are sure that it will be like that. It won't change. It is very concrete. And now your consciousness is actually your dream sleep state. Your real consciousness is in the sleep state. That is why it is known as karana sharira. Karana means the cause. The cause for all this is the sleep consciousness. And now we have to meet them both, mix them both. Our inner life, the sleep state. And when you are aware of that sleep state, we never call it sleep, we call it samadhi. And therefore, whenever we go, wherever the yogis go into a deep sleep, or a continuous sleep, we call it a samadhi. Like Sai Samadhi. And you remember that Venkateshwara Swami temple is also a samadhi. You will accept that? But don't go out and tell, I can't explain to all that if they come behind me, I can't run. I am very weak. But it is a samadhi because you have read the life of Venkateshwara Mahatyam. He was a man. At least we accept that. And he has become a stone. If we accept it, Shirdi Sai was a man, became a stone, and temples are built. The equation you can understand. So all this divinity of transformation, some people have acquired even before Sri Aurobindo did it. But the difference between Sri Aurobindo and those yogis is they could get it for themselves only, they couldn't transmit it. And that's why sometimes I find that he's a real scientist. He could grade the consciousness, the divine consciousness, from that divine level to your level. To your level means to your different levels. And because he has given the gradations, you can just go up the stairs. The true reconciliation is the inner life of the individual and his outer existence. And whoever has done this, we call them a realized soul. He has realized his inner consciousness and his outer consciousness. And every day you are given the chance where you go to sleep. But you get up only as you are. But if you know this mind light and you pull it before you sleep, can you imagine what will happen? Your consciousness will change. And don't worry, that consciousness includes you also, so don't worry. You will not get up at something higher level, but as something higher level which includes you also. Therefore you will not misunderstand and you will not be confused in your daily concentrated your consciousness, but you will be having a wider consciousness. With that purpose, the sleep must be utilized. It is out of the silence. The sleep state is the most silent state. It is out of this silence that the world which creates the worlds forever proceeds. Can you understand what tremendous power you are being given by these words of Sri Aurobindo? What is he telling? It is out of this silence. You can have silence in two ways. One is in the sleep, where you are not aware of that silence, or a real meditation where you can really become silent. But when you compare it, the sleep state and the samadhi state are similar. Similar, but the only thing is, in samadhi state you are active but silent. In sleep state you are silent but not active. There is a difference. That reconciliation, if you can make it every night, we try to make it every night, it is out of this silence that the world which creates the worlds forever proceeds. For the world expresses that which is self-hidden in silence. Tremendous formula. What is the page number 33 in which chapter? Reality omnipresent. You just go through the previous and the latter paragraphs, but the meaning, the gist of those paragraphs is this. The silence does not reject the world because it has created it. It sustains it, or rather it supports with an equal impartiality the activity and the withdrawal from the activity, and approves also the reconciliation by which the soul remains free and still even when while it lends itself to all actions. You are doing everything, but you are getting still and active. Still means not moving, but active. But how to practice it? Sukha dukkhe same krutva labha labho jaya jayo tato yuddhaya yuddhasva. You fight. That is what Sri Krishna is advising. You fight. He is not saying that you just live a casual life. In fighting, you know how much awareness you have to be of your activities. But still, you are still. Therefore, I want you to be still for 10 minutes. Huh? What is the time now? Huh? 5 to 7. It's okay, it doesn't matter. At 7:10 we meet again. Till then, don't be still, relax.